Okay, it is my hope that the next 5 to 6 minutes will go better than they did in the first hour. First hour was fascinating today. We are looking at the book of Proverbs. If you haven't been in here in a little while, we're looking at Psalms first. Psalms can be divided into 5 sub-books. Each book ends with a brief doxology, a brief poem of prayer to God. We went through the first 41 chapters of Psalms. That's the end of the first sub-book. We stopped. We're going to go look at Proverbs. When we finish Proverbs, we'll go back to Psalms and do the second sub-book. When we finish that, we'll go off and do something else. We'll go back and forth like that for a while. That's the plan. So right now, we're studying in the book of Proverbs. And I told you guys something last week that I think now might, it looks like is wrong. But I ask you the question, where do you find the first proverb in the book of Proverbs? And I think I said something like you find it over in chapter 10. That's not quite right. It turns out there's one in chapter 1, verse 7. But it stands, did I get to that? It stands alone. And there are, I think, a few more as you go through. But for the most part, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are not Proverbs. They're something else. So the question is, what is that? I'll give you this. The first 6 verses of Proverbs tell you the purpose for which the book was prepared. Verse 7 is, as I said, the one proverb that perhaps the people who were compiling this said, that's the one that needs to be up front. And then after that, something else starts. What's that? What is most of this first 9 chapters?
I think it's instruction.
From?
Warning.
From a father. From a father. The original Hebrew is almost certainly from a father to a son.
Yeah.
Some translations will go from a parent to a child. And I think that inclusivity is something that fits within the world we inhabit. But parent to child, father to son. That's most of what's in those 9 chapters. What's our clue to this? Chapter 1, verse 8. What's the clue very early in that verse?
Listen, my son.
Listen, my son. If yours says my son there, it's going to say my son at a bunch of other places. If yours says my child there like mine does, it's going to say my child at a bunch of other places. You might take a look at verse 15. You might take a look at verse 10. You might take a look at verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. You might take a look at chapter 3, verse 1. You might take a look at chapter 3, verse 11. You might take a look at chapter 3, verse 21. You might take a look at chapter 4, verse 1, but there's something different in chapter 4, verse 1. What's that? It doesn't say my son, it says my sons, or it doesn't say my child, it says my children. So far, okay, so that's the big deal. Now, you just saved us 10 minutes because people in the first hour didn't say something about the way I said it, I guess, must have led them astray. But it's a parent, probably a father in the original setting, giving instruction to a child. So far, okay? But there's a second theme that pops up as well. There's a second theme that pops up as well. And to get you ready for that second theme, if you have done your homework and have read the first 9 chapters, you should already be aware of this. But I want to get you ready for that. And so to do that, what I'd like you to do is set aside the book of Proverbs. And instead, I'd like you to find, hold your place, because we'll come back to that. But find, if you will, the book of John. If you can find the book of John. Chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read this. I have it in New Living, so I'm going to read it out of that. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Verse 3, God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Of whom is this talking? Who is the Word?
Jesus.
Are we okay on that? That's set. We're comfortable with that, right? Okay. Turn over to Colossians, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then four little books. The fourth of those little books is Colossians. Turn over to Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. And what I'd like you to do is find verse 15. Ready? Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. I'm especially sensitive to that last half of verse 17. I've spent my working career studying how things hold together and how you can take them apart and put them back together to where they hold together in a different way. And the phrase, he holds all of creation together, has a very special meaning for me. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Who are they talking about? This one is easier. Talking about Christ. Is there any question about that? Anybody? Okay, turn to Proverbs 8. Turn to Proverbs 8, verse 22. Proverbs 8, verse 22. What was your assignment? Read the first 10 chapters of Proverbs. That would get you 9 chapters of parents instructing children or father instructing son, plus 1 chapter of actual Proverbs as we have it. So there'll be a few Proverbs scattered around. So this is inside that first 9 chapter section, right? Chapter Proverbs 8, verse 22. Ready to read? The Lord formed me from the beginning, before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before springs bubbled forth their water, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born. Before he had made the earth and fields and the first hands full of soil, I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the ocean. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off earth's foundations. I was the architect at his side. Yours may say craftsman or something like that. I was the architect. I was the craftsman at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. Who are they talking about?
Must be Jesus.
Must be Jesus.
But there's a small problem.
Jesus had been.
What's the title given this person? The title given this person in this section is wisdom.
That's the title given to this person. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 20. The father is instructing his son. The parent is instructing the child. And they begin to speak of what? Wisdom. And here's what it says. Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square. She calls out at the street corners. She delivers her message at the city gates. What's the message? You simple people, how much longer will you cling to your simple ways? How much longer will mockers revel in their mocking and fools go on hating knowledge? Pay attention to my warning. To you I will pour out my heart and tell you what I have to say. Verse 29, they have hated knowledge, they have not chosen the fear of the Lord, they have taken no notice of my advice, they have spurned all my warnings, so they will have to eat the fruits of their own ways of life and choke themselves with their own scheming. Verse 33, but whoever listens to me may live secure and will have quiet, fearing no mischance. Wisdom was the one of whom? Chapter 8, verse 22. That's what Proverbs was talking about. How is wisdom presented?
She.
We now have a problem. What is our problem? It's the same problem that splashed across the headlines of papers across the world. It's gender. And I don't know what to do with this, other than simply to report it to you. I believe if you go to chapter 4, please join me there. In chapter 4, the term that's used is understanding, not necessarily wisdom. Chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my children. Remember, this is the time when it switches from singular to plural for a little while. Listen, my children, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and learn what understanding is. Verse 3. I, too, was once a child with a father. In my mother's eyes, a tender child, unique. This is what my father used to teach me. Quote, let your heart treasure what I have to say. Keep my principles and you will live. Verse 5, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Never forget
wisdom.
I'm in the middle of verse 6. Verse 5. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding, never forget her. Never deviate from my words. Verse 6. Do not desert her. She will keep you safe. Love her, she will watch after you. The first principle of wisdom is acquire wisdom. At the cost of all you have, acquire understanding. Verse 8. Hold her close and she will make you great. Embrace her and she will be your pride. The subject of wisdom personified, wisdom presented in the form of person, is the second text of the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. The first, after, here's the purpose, is a parent or a father instructing a child or a son. And all the way through that, the father begins to bring up wisdom. And for a while, wisdom is lowercase. And after a while, in my translation, wisdom is uppercase. Wisdom is a person who stands in the street corner. What does wisdom cry? In effect, come unto me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's not much different from that. Who is this? Chapter 8, verse 22, and following, sure sounds like Jesus. But I got a gender problem. What do I do with that? My answer is, I don't know. Now, having said that, I'll then have some more comments. But my first comment is, I don't know. Yes, Paul?
I just wonder, would it have any meaning to go back in Galatians where it says in Christ there's either male or female?
I think that is an exceptionally good place to go. I don't think it gets us off the hook, but I think it gives us another hook to hang on.
What's the name of that novel? I forgot the name of it.
When Shaq.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. In that book, God appears...
A black woman.
As a black woman. Later that's explained.
And it was so
he had a lot against
did
his
you read
father.
That one?
I'm in the Bible.
Seriously, okay. Shaq is one of the best books I've ever
read.
To show.
I probably will.
I think they're making a movie.
Now,
anyway,
read the book first.
Read the book first. Yeah, but it...
Doing what I do for a living, I would say that women in your body have good answers.
I was. Since you did.
Wisdom seems to have been claimed by men. There's something interesting about assigning wisdom as female. I want to tell you very clearly as I can, I don't want to linger here, but I do think there's something being presented that we need to deal with. Since I don't know how to deal with it, I'll simply tell you what I'm thinking, and you share what you're thinking, and let's see where we come out. Yes, sir. Well, I'll have a second story to tell you next week. But I think since I didn't tell that story the first hour, I'm not going to tell the other one in here. But yeah, there's something down that road.
Just one other thing. It doesn't exactly relate, but you know, even in the creation story, when God created in His image, His spirit, male and female. Is God male or female?
I wish I had thought to say that in the first hour. We are created in His image. Male and female, He created us. And I think we would have been on slightly stronger ground. I think we're okay in the first hour, but I think we would have been on slightly stronger ground if I had thought to mention that. That is, in my humble opinion, a very good insight. Yes, yes, ma'am.
One of the Hebrew names for God, El Shaddai. Almighty God, caregiver, sufficient one. A nurturing mother, a mother hen with chicks under her wings.
That image from Psalm shows up a lot, doesn't it?
Jesus is looking at Jerusalem. Oh, how I would have
gather you under my wings as a mother.
To have to be a mother hen and gathering you.
Yeah. I think you guys are joining me better than the first hour did. You're beginning to recognize that across Scripture there is an expressing of some things in a masculine way, an expression of some things in a feminine way, and some of those are the same things. So is this then presenting wisdom as Jesus? I want to tell you, if you go to Paul's letters, and I should know which one it is, there's a place where he describes Jesus as the very wisdom of God. That's a place where you can hang that identification. My sense is it's possible to make a distinction, and I'm wondering if you heard it. Go back to John 1 in your mind for a moment, or look it back up. What did the Word do? What did God do with the Word?
He created all things.
All things were created through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. What we just read in Proverbs about wisdom, what does it say? This was brought out in the first hour, and I think it's good enough for us to go back and look at it again. How is wisdom presented in Proverbs 8, 22 and following?
It says the Lord formed me. And
later on, creation is going on, and I took delight in watching it.
My study Bible says this about 22 through 31. It says it's a hymn describing wisdom's role in creation. Therefore, these verses should not be interpreted as a direct description of Christ, yet they provide part of the background for the New Testament portrayal of Christ as the divine Word. Here, wisdom is an attribute of God involved with Him in creation.
Well said. Well said. Are you beginning to see the parameters? Okay. So, in what we have read so far, how many participants are there in creation?
What was the question?
How many participants are there in creation? The commentators do not give me any help here.
It's just one. It's one God. I mean, it's one God.
It is clearly one.
Right.
And yet, how many persons are shown as participating?
It clearly says two.
Right.
It clearly says two.
Yeah.
And here we have wisdom. And that seems to be, and your footnote said it more eloquently than I could have, but that's where I was trying to get. It seems to be showing a different role from wisdom, one that doesn't line up at all points with what John 1 or Colossians says about Jesus. But, and it seems to me there is a way to simply say maybe what we're seeing is the third person of the Trinity.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I don't say that as that's it.
Right.
I say that as I've been pondering this a long time. And this gender issue, the way it's created, if you identify that with our Savior, if you identify that with Jesus Christ, you have a gender problem. And I'd like you not to have a gender problem that hangs you up. So I'm offering you some things to think about. I think you've added immeasurably to what we did in the first hour. He created us in His image, male and female, He created us. Both images are in Him. That's enough. You could stop there and not have to do anything else. But it seems to me this picture of the Word was with God and the Word was God, separate and the same, that's hinting at the Trinity. And the Trinity so far only has two. Maybe that's what this is talking about. I simply offer this up for you to ponder and for you to think about. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, we've now done most of what I did in the first hour. And I don't think I want to do a whole lot more. But I do want to point out, you are armed now. You are armed with a look at how you think about the first nine chapters. Let's review. How do you think about the first nine chapters? Initially, only six verses. Initially, only six verses. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Well, I'm glad we're reviewing that. Go back and take a look.
It was instructions to your son.
You're too far in.
Yeah, no,
that's verse 8. One, two, three, four, five, six. The purpose of the Proverbs is this. The purpose of the Proverbs. The first thing is, it's very short, but it's distinct from everything else. The purpose of the Proverbs. And then immediately after verse 7 is the first proverb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. Okay. We did spend some time in the first hour. We could spend that profitably here, talking about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I think maybe before we dismiss, we ought to do that for just a moment or two. But the picture here is that the fear of the Lord is not wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. The rest of the chapter, the rest of the book up through chapter 9 is primarily a father giving instruction to his son, or a parent giving instruction to a child, and every once in a while a parent giving instruction to his children or her children. But buried along with this, it's in chapter 1, it's in chapter 4, and it's certainly in chapter 8, is this presentation of wisdom. Not wisdom as a concept, wisdom as a person. And what that person does sounds like Jesus. If a distinction has been made, then maybe the distinction is you're seeing God in three persons, and maybe wisdom is representing the third person of the Trinity. I don't know. My sense is it sure looks like Jesus running through here. But you got the gender thing. What do you do with that? I don't know. I love the picture of the mother hen. That's a very powerful reminder of us that Jesus himself made a presentation like this, speaking of himself. The nurturing, the motherly care is something even Jesus himself referred to himself in. But the idea is that as you look through here, I want you to see that's really what the first nine chapters are talking about. And you're now armed to go in and read this and to see the references that come in. As far as I know, the Hebrew language did not have the ability to have a capital W versus a lowercase w. But our translators have put that in. So when they talk about wisdom as a concept, it's lowercase. The time comes when I use the word... I just lost the word. The contrast, the extra word is incarnation. But wisdom is presented as a person. Wisdom is presented as a person. The Word is presented as a person. And that picture of wisdom standing in the corner of the square, calling people in something of the way that Jesus called, the parallels are really strong. And I want you to see that. So it'll go back and forth, and occasionally wisdom is given a chance to simply speak.
Sort of putting a wisdom out as maybe as like Christ.
As
urging us to seek wisdom, which is to seek.
So that's either wisdom is Jesus. And Paul's writings make that identification. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Which, if you have the Word was with God, separate, and the Word was God, together, you know, that fits into that.
Where was the word she that you
I have in chapter 1, starting at verse 20. This is in the conversation from the father to the children. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square.
Chapter 8, 1 through.
Chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. Do not desert her, that is wisdom. She will keep you safe. Love her. Hold her close, verse 8. She will make you great. And then chapter 8, and especially starting at verse 22. The interesting thing is when you get to verse 22, the concept of she is not anywhere in there. That's why I could read it and sort of mislead you for a moment. You read that, you don't hear the gender issue. You just hear...
But it is in the first part of the chapter.
But in the first part of the chapter, very clearly...
Chapter 9 says wisdom has built her house.
Yeah, and you'll see that feminine pronouns are used all the way through here. And I wanted to deal with that head on, because otherwise you're going to be running up against it and thinking, what do you do? And I wanted to give you some chance to wrestle with that a little bit here. That way you'll be set to work on this. Yes.
Going back to the hen and chicks, El Shaddai is the God Almighty. That's very fierce and
therefore sounds masculine.
And sounds masculine, but also caregiver, which is a feminine
trait
that we think of. It's in National Geographic that there was a horrible fire years ago at Yellowstone National Park. And they went, of course, the fireman went and put out the fire, and then they walked in checking for hot spots that hadn't gone out yet and such. Of course, there were animals that
had been burned,
weren't able to outrun the fire. And there was this one bird, I think of a quail or a pheasant or something like that, standing upright at the base of a tree, completely charred, just standing there. And it sort of, you know, standing, and so they sort of kicked it over, and out came three baby chicks.
A lot.
Unscathed by the fire. This is God's strength in a mother. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Let me take a moment of pause. What's my role in this class?
Someday.
Yeah. I've occasionally used the word I'm the teacher, but the truth of the matter is my job should be to facilitate your learning, to lead you to learn, to give you things to think about and ponder and let whatever you learn come out of that. And I'm trying to really model that today. This is tough going in this little section. But I think until I deal with that, you're not really ready to read the first 9 chapters. Now I think you are. I said we were going to talk briefly about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. There was a comment made in the first hour that was not made in here last week. Do you know or can you articulate a difference between knowledge and wisdom? I don't know the one I have is perfect, but I think it's good.
Knowledge is a bunch of facts that you know. Wisdom is how to use those facts and what you do with it in that situation.
Yeah. One way that I heard it in class last week from somebody was, knowledge is an accumulation of information about things. Wisdom is knowing which ones are important, which ones are germane to a particular situation. I heard somebody else say, knowledge is knowing how to accomplish something. Wisdom is knowing what is worth accomplishing. And I think as you're talking about this, watch out for going between wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Going between those. And remember that initial proverb, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Some translations will say it's the beginning of knowledge. Well, sure, it's the beginning of both. But I think Proverbs will make a distinction between those. And they will tie, as I think Barbara did a little bit earlier in this hour, it will tie understanding and wisdom to discipline. Where discipline is something you're not going to have if you don't have some knowledge, some understanding, some wisdom. But the discipline is a consequence of those kinds of things.
I liked the concept earlier that somebody in the other class talked about. If you think of the Holy Spirit as helping you find the truth through the Bible, when you're reading the Bible and trying to experience God in your life, if you think of the Holy Spirit as that wisdom showing you, guiding you to God in that way.
Wait a minute. Look at this a little bit longer. Ponder this a little bit longer. There's something here you don't want to miss. That prompting that comes. I think that there is something worthy in beginning to think about wisdom personified as the third person of the Trinity. Because then I think lots of stuff in my mind begins to snap together. I'm encouraging you to see if that happens with you as well as you think about these things. What else do you want to talk about? I want to thank Chris one more time. You shouldn't have, but I'm glad you did. I thank all of you for
You're
being
welcome,
here.
But I think a lot more people eat.
I may take one with me then. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we're entering a book whose purpose, whose very purpose, is to help us gain knowledge, help us gain understanding, help us gain insight, so that we can begin to have a relationship with wisdom, understood as you, the only wise God, our Savior. We thank you for the chance to ponder these things. We thank you for the fact that you inspired your servant so long ago to record these things, to write them down and organize it where we would have them now to look at and study and think about. And I pray that you would put on our hearts the things that we need to think about during this week. Lord, you've heard our prayers about some of the details. Some of these are hard situations. We continue to pray that you would be active and present in each of those things. Bring us back together next week if it be your will. We pray all this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.